Thank you, Greg and team, and good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome to our first service. I want to echo what was said earlier about welcoming the Gages back. We're glad to have you back here and here at First Colony as well. Also, several of you will be leaving this Friday to Honduras. We wish for you all of God's best. You certainly will be in our prayers on that good mission. Today, I want to begin a three-week series, and I want to start with a question. Here's the question. How do you handle it when God asks you to do something that you just don't want to do? How do you handle it when you come to one of those intersections where God is asking you to do something and every bone in your body is reluctant, more than reluctant, even resistant? How do you handle it when God asks you to do something that you just don't want to do? Well, this three-week series we're starting today is from the book of Jonah. It's about the life of Jonah. And the story of Jonah is probably one of the better-known stories in the Bible. I mean, the average person on the street knows something about Jonah and the whale, quote-unquote. But the hero of the story, certainly not Jonah, the hero of the story is not the great fish, but the hero of the story is our great God and the lengths to which he will go to demonstrate his mercy and his grace. Okay? Today we're in Jonah chapter 1. Let's start. Here's the story. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. Have you ever noticed that sometimes your life can be radically shaped and changed by just a few words? And the few words that shaped Jonah's life and challenged him were these words: Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was not in Jonah's comfort zone. Nineveh was fear. Nineveh is uncomfortable. Nineveh is trouble. How do you handle it when God asks you to go to your Nineveh and he asks you to do something you just don't want to do? Well, Jonah sure didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't like those people. I mean, for crying out loud, they're 500 miles away from Jerusalem. They don't have a temple. They don't know anything about God. Sure, Jonah's a prophet, but he's a prophet to Israel. He's a prophet to people who know something about God, who've got a temple, who offer sacrifices. Those Ninevites, no offense, those Ninevites, sure, the city of Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, but they are known for their brutality. They are known for their ungodliness. And Jonah has absolutely no interest in going to Nineveh. That's the last place on earth he thought God would send him. By the way, Philip Yancey, in writing about the book of Jonah and this story, says this is a true life tale on just how hard it is to love your enemies. So, what did Jonah do? Here's what he did. Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Here's the first major point I want to say today. You ready? Here it is. God often asks you to do things you don't want to do. God says go, and Jonah says no. In fact, here's what, when the Lord said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, in essence, here's what Jonah said. Now, I want us all to say this together on the count of three, but you got to whine it. But I don't want to go to Nineveh. All right, you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. But I don't want to go to Nineveh. You can do better. You can do better than that. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. But I don't want to go to Nineveh. How do you handle it When God asks you to do something you just don't want to do, you don't want to serve your spouse right now. You're not in the mood to honor your parents. Look, if you wanted to deal with that personal habit, you would have dealt with it by now. If you were going to walk through that open door, if you were going to take that step of growth and development, you would have done it by now. Stop it. I'm tired of listening to it. I don't care what the Lord's asking me to do. I don't want to go to Nineveh. But God often asks you to do things you don't want to do. And when you come to that intersection, it's what I would call a who's in charge moment. And you will experience plenty of who's in charge intersections in your walk with God. Jonah had one. God says go, and Jonah says no. And here's the second major point, and that is, if you want to be resistant, there is always a boat sailing in the opposite direction. You can always find that boat. Verse 3, Jonah went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. How convenient. How convenient that he went there, and all of a sudden, there's a boat sailing in the opposite direction. Now, when I say opposite direction, that's what I mean. Where is Tarshish? Everybody say Tarshish. Say it twice. Tarshish is in Spain, for crying out loud. By the way, have you ever met people who, when they want to get disobedient, if something falls into place, they say it's God's will? It's not God's will to go to Tarshish. Oh, yeah. Trust me, you want to resist God, there's always a boat sailing in the opposite direction. So Jonah goes down to the port, finds a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. You know what Jonah's doing? He's following what I would call his shadow mission. And like Jonah, all of us in here have a mission, and all of us have a shadow mission. Have you ever heard that term? I came across it over the last year. Not long ago, I was somewhere, and I listened to a man by the name of John Ortberg talk about his shadow mission. He told about being in a small group of men, and they started talking about, you know, and we've all done this. We've been in groups, and we've talked about, you know, what's my mission in life? What's my purpose in life? What's God calling me to do? What's my noble mission? But he said, we all have a shadow mission, too. And listen, your shadow mission is not 180 degrees. Your shadow mission is off just a little. Off just a little. It's just a little selfish. It's just a little dark. But it's enough. One man in that group said, my shadow mission is to stay up late, watch TV, engage in a destructive personal habit while the world goes to hell. And everybody in the group laughed sort of nervously, and he said, now I'm going to say it one more time. This time nobody laughs. My shadow mission, even though I'm a church leader, is really just to stay up late, watch TV, engage in this destructive personal habit while the world goes to hell. Ortberg said, talking about himself, he said, I am a teacher and a writer, and I have a mission to teach and to write the things of God. But he said, but I'll tell you what my shadow mission is. He said, my shadow mission is to be a well-liked public speaker. That's my shadow mission. And everybody has one. What's yours? If you don't know it, if you can't name it, you're probably living it. It's off just 10 degrees. It's off just 20 degrees. It's off just 30 degrees. It's like one church staff said, if we're not careful, our shadow mission is to be a successful church for successful people. God calls us to more than that, but if we're not careful, we can just sort of drift into a selfish, dark world where we just want to be a successful church for successful people. What's your shadow mission? It probably has something to do with image. It may have something to do with power. It may have something to do with control or money. What is it? If your life's not very fulfilling right now spiritually, odds are it's gotten off. What was Jonah's shadow mission? What was his mission in life? His mission was to be God's prophet. What was his shadow mission? To be God's prophet as long as it didn't involve going to Nineveh. Jesus had a shadow mission. What was the mission of Jesus? To be our Savior, to be the Messiah who went to the cross to redeem us from our sins. What was his shadow mission? What was his temptation? Not 180, just off, 20 degrees, 30 degrees. His shadow mission was to be a Messiah without going to the cross. Satan tempted him. Oh, you can be the Messiah and you don't even have to get hungry. Here, turn this into bread. You can be the Messiah, and you don't even have to experience any pain. Go ahead, throw yourself down from the temple. You're not going to get hurt. We'll make it happen. You can be the Messiah, and you won't even have any opposition. I can see to that. And Jesus wrestled with his shadow mission all the way to the cross. I mean, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, God, I don't want to do this. Father, I don't want to go to the cross. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And Jonah, but I don't want to go to Nineveh. And if you don't want to go, there's always a boat sailing in the opposite direction. But God gets Jonah's attention. Jonah thinks that the safe place is going to be running from God and headed to Spain. Listen, my friend, the only real safe place is to be in the will of God, even if the will of God's calling you to Nineveh. Well, here's a third point I want to underscore. God may send a storm to grab your attention. Not always, but sometimes. He's done it to me. He did it to Jonah. In a very literal sense. Verse 4, but the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. This storm is more perfect than the perfect storm. This is one powerful storm. It is supernatural here. Well, fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. This is a crew that's very multicultural, and they do not believe in one God. They've all got their little tribal gods. They've all got their little personal gods. And here's a storm. These are Phoenician sailors, for crying out loud. They've seen storms before, but they know this is something unlike they've ever experienced. And they're all starting to cry out now to their own individual gods. Where's Jonah? He's sound asleep, down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he'll pay attention to us and spare our lives. And then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. And when they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. God's up to something here. He's up to something. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What's your line of work? What country are you from? What's your nationality? And Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, the one who made the sea and the land. And the sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. Translation, Jonah, what were you thinking? By the way, Is there something going on in your life right now, secret, that if the people closest to you knew about it, they would say, what were you thinking? What are you thinking? And I want to say something else to you. The higher up you are in the food chain, the more other people get affected by your choices. Happened here with Jonah. You're a father, and you're running from God. Other people get seriously affected. You're a leader, you're a boss. The higher up in the food chain you are, the more other people get impacted. What's going on here? Well, and since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? And Jonah said, throw me into the sea and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. He says, I'd rather die than keep on running from God. Instead, notice the sailors seem to have a better heart than Jonah does. The sailors, they wanted to at least save him. The sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. And then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh, Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. And then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. You've never experienced anything like that. An immediate cessation of the storm. And the sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. I'm telling you, God is up to something in this story in wonderful ways, and now you've got this pagan ship that has turned into a temple, and these sailors are worshiping the one true God. It turns out that God is at work in ways Jonah couldn't even imagine. What happened to Jonah? Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. Do you believe that? And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. We're going to pick up the story right there next week in the greatest catch and release story you've ever imagined. Well, the sailors came to know God, but for Jonah, his adventure is just now kicking into high gear. We'll pick it up there next week, but here's the bottom line, what I want to underscore this morning. It is never too late to quit running from God. And it is never too soon to quit running from God either. It's not too late for you. Nor is it too soon for you to quit running from God. Some of you may have been running in very obvious ways. Some of you may have been running in more subtle ways. It may be that what you've been doing is simply following your shadow mission. Not 180. It's just off 20. What's your shadow mission? Does it have something to do with your image, control? It's something that's dark. It's something that's very selfish. And there's not a lot of Jesus in it. And if you've been running from God, either very obviously or not so obviously, it's never too late to stop. And it's never too early to stop either. And here's what I'm going to boldly ask you to do today. I'm going to boldly ask you, everybody in this room, to just surrender. Wave the white flag of surrender. That white flag is a symbol of our undivided devotion to God and our unquestioned loyalty and surrender to Him. And I'm going to ask you to do that. You did it back there when you were baptized. You've done it several times in your Christian life since. For some of us today, we need to wave that white flag again. No pretending, no resisting. God, I'm saying to you that I want to be fully yielded. I want to be fully surrendered. I want to be fully available to you. And some of you may be in this room and you're saying, I need a new direction from God. I'm looking for Him to lead me. I'm looking for a new direction in my life. Well, listen, there is a correlation between you getting leading from God, you getting direction from God, and you being surrendered to Him. He leads you as you're surrendered to Him. And I'm going to ask you just pointedly today to wave that white flag. To say to God, God, I'm ready to do your bidding without delay. I am fully available. I will refuse you nothing, and God, I will be faithful to you even in the small practices of love, even in my small assignments and responsibilities. You have my undivided devotion and surrender. So how do you handle it? When God asks you to do something and you just don't want to do it, what's your Nineveh? Where are you resistant? Where are you reluctant? Some of you may already be on that boat headed in the wrong direction. It's never too late to quit running. It's never too early either. This morning, all of us here, I'm asking you to do some fresh business with God. What does that look like for you? What does it look like for you? For some of you, it may be that it's time this morning to be baptized. And you may be out there saying, look, you know, if I was going to be baptized, I would have done it by now. Huh? It's never too late to quit running. If I was going to start that Bible study, all right, I've heard enough about that. If I wanted to connect with the church, I'd connect with the church. Well, it's never too late to stop running. If we can help you, when this service is over, some of our church leaders will be right down front. You come on down. We'd love to visit with you, talk with you, pray with you in Christ's name. Okay. Let's stand, please, for our closing prayer and our closing song. Father God, you know the truth about all of us. Everybody in this room's a runner. I know that's my drift. I've got a lot of Jonah in me. I want what I want. And we run from you. But the good news is you are at work in my life and in our lives, even in ways we cannot even plan or even imagine. And Lord, I pray right now for every heart in this room, for the spiritual struggles that are going on in the hearts in this room, for women and men who know of some area, some relationship, some behavior, some secret where they've been running the other way or maybe simply engaging in their shadow mission, something that's just more selfish. Lord, help us all to stop running, to know what a good and loving and great God you are. And I pray the words of Richard Foster, who said, today, O Lord, I yield myself to you. May your will be my delight. May your love be my pattern of living. I surrender to you my hopes, my dreams, my ambitions. Do with them what you will, when you will, as you will. And I place into your loving care my family, my friends, my future. Care for them with the care that I could never give. And I release into your hands, O God, my need for control, my craving for status, my fear of obscurity. Eradicate the evil. Purify the good and establish your kingdom in my life, in my heart, and on this earth. In Christ's name, amen.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God. God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with the wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Yes, we know that He's awesome. That He reigns with power and wisdom. We all know that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God.
In our foyer, we have a welcome center with a lot of printed information about our church family. To our guests, welcome. We're glad that you're with us today, and please stop by that welcome center, pick up some of that information. We have Bible classes for all ages, from the youngest to the oldest. And those classes start in about 15 minutes. In the meantime, if you'll go down to our rotunda, there's some fine coffee there. I hope you'll help yourself and say hello to the people around you. Everybody remember that daylight saving time begins next weekend. So next Saturday night, make sure that you spring forward 1 hour. I hear a rumble in the room. You don't like daylight saving time? Just say it, but I don't like daylight saving. I do, all right? But anyway, next weekend, remember to spring forward. And guys, if you're headed to Honduras, all God's best upon you. What a great thing you're doing. You'll be in our prayers. Have a great day, everybody. You're dismissed.